Hi everyone, I'm Kristen Lee, news writer for Search Health IT.
And I'm Sean Suttner, news and feature writer for Search Health IT.
We're the Hit Squad.
Yep.
Welcome to another episode of the Hit Squad podcast series. In this episode, we're going to chat about my video profile of noted Health IT CIO John Halamka, MD, the recent Search Health IT tweet chat on wearables in Health IT and healthcare, and locking down protected health information with the help of a security advisor. So Sean, you did this story recently on how consulting firm Synergistic worked with a New Jersey hospital system on security. So how does that partnership work?
Well, it's interesting because Synergistic, which a lot of people in Health IT know, is an interesting firm because they only do Health IT security and privacy consulting, as opposed to more generic security firms that do other industries. And so Mac McMillan, the CEO, co-founder of Synergistic, came out of, he ran security for a couple of Department of Defense agencies. They have other government veterans in there. So anyway, they work with one of their clients, who I spoke with, is Virtua, which is it's a big hospital system in Southern New Jersey, biggest in that region. And they kind of bring in Mac and his people, Mac McMillan, as sort of to talk to the big brass, to talk to the board of directors, to talk to the CEO, to kind of sell them on the idea that security is really important to have in your culture as a healthcare provider. That's really important, especially with breaches happening all the time with big healthcare systems. So it's less about the technology, which the provider already has a IT security staff of about five people, and it's more about the culture, and also most importantly doing a strategic risk assessment every year. So under HIPAA you have to do regular assessments, while Synergistic with Virtua does it every year. And so the other benefit, according to Virtua people I talked to, the CIO, was that this consulting firm Synergistic keeps them abreast of what's coming down the pike from the government. So they kind of know what the government's gonna require, any new requirements, audits that are coming before they happen. So it's worth it to work with an outside company, even if you have a large security infrastructure as part of your health IT network. So Kristen, the first installment of your video profile on Halamka, the CIO of Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, is out. It's on our website, Search Health IT. So tell us a little bit about Halamka's wife's battle with breast cancer and how it inspired him.
Yeah, so this video kind of tells a story about how in 2011, Kathy Halamka, John Halamka's wife, was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer, and John Halamka basically turned to big data analytics to try to find the best treatment plan for his wife. Now, luckily, they and we all live in the Boston area, and Harvard University has Harvard-affiliated hospitals, and all these hospitals have opened their data up to be queried. And they're being queried by this open-source web-based application called i2b2. Halamka explained to me that the way that this works is that, you know, questions come in, answers go out, but no data actually ever leaves the hospital's firewall. So, you know, there's no patient privacy compromised, none of that. And so what he did is he queried the databases about patients that were like his wife's. So back then she was 50 years old, and she's Korean with stage 3 breast cancer. So he looked up what other women who are like this, what procedures they had done and what were the outcomes. So by kind of being able to look up the different patient cases in these databases, he was able to deliver precision medicine to his wife. And it also helped his family make more informed decisions. So so in this way, he was able to help treat his wife, and now she's completely cured, which is really great news. So happy ending to a really interesting story about health IT. And Sean, so we had our second Search Health IT tweet chat last week, where it was moderated by David Cho, MD, CIO of University of Mississippi Medical Center. We also wrote about it in Storify. So how'd that go for you? What was your take?
Well, I think you'll agree we all had fun doing it. We sat in our Search Health IT bunker, i.e. conference room, and we tweeted away, and David Chu was great. He stimulated a lot of discussion, and you and I both have done other Storify stories where we kind of curated the best tweets, or what we thought were the most insightful tweets, and kind of made them part of a whole story. So I thought it was really cool. You know, it was really fun. I learned a lot. And so my story focused on two of the questions. We set these tweet chats up with a number of questions. And so it's easy to catalog the responses and turn them into content. So we, I focused on, you know, basically what is a wearable? What is a health wearable as opposed to wellness? And are they affordable? Or what's the cost outlook? And David Chu, who Kristen mentioned, his definition is that anything, a wearable is anything that is attached to a patient with the ability to create a personal network. And also, Alex Delvecchio, our site editor, said that it's anything that can capture and transfer biometric data qualifies as a wearable. Mm. And David Chu also, Dr. Chu also qualified it as if it's attached to a patient as opposed to a consumer. So it has to be a patient. So as far as the affordability, most of the participants in the tweet chat seem to think that the prices are becoming affordable, the sensors are getting cheaper, and the whole thing. I mean, if you're going to buy Apple Watches for all your patients, it might be too expensive. Even the highest-end Fitbits and Jawbone Ups are expensive. Samsung Gear is expensive, but there's a lot more sort of medical-grade sensors that can be used that are cheaper. And so that could be the future of wearables. So, Kristen, you also focused on wearables in your Storify story. So what kind of aspects did you look at?
Yeah, so I focused more on, you know, two questions. One, are wearables becoming more medically relevant? And two, you know, what sort of issues are people concerned about when it comes to wearables? So in terms of whether they're medically relevant, there was a resounding yes with the experts that we had participating. One factor pushing wearables to become to being more medically relevant is the fact that they're becoming more affordable. Patients are also becoming much more proactive in their own health, and doctors are starting to get on board and pushing out wearables to their patients. In fact, I think we came across a study that said that some doctors are formally prescribing mobile apps to some of their patients. So that was something interesting. And another aspect is that wearable data is now beginning to be ported into major EHRs, which I think you said that, Sean, during our tweet chat. So that's furthering medical relevancy as well. And in terms of concerns, it seemed like the experts that participated in our chat had two main concerns. One, dealing with the flood of data that all these wearables will inevitably bring, and two, patient privacy, security, and, you know, complying with HIPAA. Cho believes that, you know, many IT professionals, especially CISOs, he said, don't trust the security of wearables and the data they generate. But he kind of warns against this. He thinks that they're getting a little too paranoid and that it will kind of cause your organization to get stuck. So very interesting dialogue going on there.
It is. That was really interesting. Now, my question for you, Kristen, is you're not wearing a wearable today except for some kind of a nice bracelet, but do you have any idea? What's your estimated step count, do you think, you've taken today?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's
why we need wearables.
I don't move much, and you took charge and got the key for the room, so you definitely stole more steps from me. estimated? I'm not sure. I will look at my phone, which might not be the best thing because I, you know, I don't carry it with me everywhere when I'm in the office, but I'll update everyone.
Apple Health has a step counter.
Yes,
so
it does.
You've enabled it. So Kristen's looking it up right now, and Kristen's a runner too. I don't know if you do. You keep. Do
I didn't run today though.
Okay, but do you run with your phone? Or?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So let's see. Today, so far, I've taken 1,413 steps.
Okay, and I've taken 4,823. So we both have work to do.
You got the key, man.
Yes, I did.
Next time, I'm getting the key.
Okay, it's a deal.
Up my steps.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See you at the next episode of Search Health IT's Hit Squad.